in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Godhead, yet he was the very first member to be revealed to us in the Bible. Though he is a third member of the Trinity, he was the first to be revealed in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 as a creative spirit. Praise God. Now, when we say the concept of the Trinity, we are talking of three persons, the same God. We have only one and the same God, but he exists in three distinct personalities. The same one God in three persons, and one of such person is the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is not one third God, is what? 100% God. We saw that in Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. That the Holy Spirit is God. Hallelujah. He is God. He is God. Hallelujah. You know. When Jesus said, give us that scripture in John chapter 14, verse 26. He said, but the Comforter, which is what? The Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. Am I communicating? The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a force. It's not an impersonal force. It's a person. It's very real. As I'm talking right now, his presence is here in our midst. He's a spirit, so you don't see him with your physical eyes. But the fact that you cannot see him does not mean he's not real. Am I communicating? He's a person. You will, when we move further, I will prove to you that he's a person from the Bible, because he speaks. He talks. Am I communicating? He teaches. Jesus said he will teach you all things. He speaks with his voice. He has a voice. He speaks. He talks. Am I communicating? So he's a person. He's very real. Very real. Though unseen, but very real. Am I communicating? He has a mind of his own. He has a will of his own. With his mind, he thinks. He's an intelligent spirit. In fact, he's the most intelligent spirit. Am I communicating? He imagines. He has imagination. He has his own thought. He thinks because he has his own mind. The Holy Spirit has a will of his own with which he makes choices and decisions. The Holy Spirit has emotion. He has feelings. Am I communicating? He can be happy. He can be sad. He can be grieved. He can love. Am I communicating? He's a person. He can be tested. Peter told Ananias and Sapphira, he said, why have both of you decided, you connived, to test, to lie to the Holy Spirit and test the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 5, I think verse 9. So the Holy Spirit can be tested. Okay, I'm just trying to prove to you that he's a person. He can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30. He said, grieve not the Spirit. He can be resisted. The children of Israel, they resisted the Holy Ghost. He can even be limited. Do you know, you can limit the operations, the workings of the Holy Spirit in your own life? Yes, you can. Why is it like that? Because God created man with a free will of his own. Human beings are not robots. Okay, we were created with our free will. And with your free will, you can choose to yield in obedience. You can choose to surrender to the will of the Holy Spirit, or you can resist him. You can resist his will. But that is to your own peril. Am I communicating? It will be to your own disadvantage. There are Christians that are resisting the Holy Spirit in their life. They are limiting his working. When you choose not to obey him, when you choose to disregard his instructions, his leading and all of that, you are just doing whatever you like. You don't listen to him. You have no time for him. You are limiting the Holy Spirit. You are limiting his operation in your life. There are many things he wants to do for you, but you, by your own choice, you are limiting him. So he can be limited. The Bible talking about the children of Israel, that they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy Spirit. They limited him. He would have done more for them. So the things we read in the Bible, the Holy Spirit would have done more, if not that they did not what? Limit him. So he can be limited. He can be resisted. He can be tested. He's a person. Praise God. And he's very real. The fact that you don't see him does not mean he's not real. Reality is not defined by visibility. There are many things that are real yet unseen. Am I communicating? He's an unseen personality. He thinks, he talks, he speaks, he feels, he chooses, he decides. Is that not a person? So, the Holy Spirit, you see, we need to understand the personality of the Holy Spirit. Because many Christians, when they say Holy Spirit, to the average Christian, they just think of that thing that makes people vibrate. The Holy Spirit is not a force. In fact, let me even shock you. The Holy Spirit is not power. He is not a force. He is not prophecy. He is not miracle. He is not any of those spiritual gifts we talk about. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, all of that. He is the one that gives all those gifts. But he himself is a person. The Holy Spirit can produce a force, but he is not a force. The Holy Spirit can give power, but is not power. The Holy Spirit is the secret and source of the anointing. He can give anointing. He anoints people. He's the one that anoints people, but he is not anointing. Am I communicating? Now, I'm a human being. I'm a person, right? Am I not a person? Now, if I push this chair with a force and the chair falls down, is this force with which I push this chair, is it equal to me? No. It's the same thing. The Holy Spirit is not a force, is not power, is a person, but he is the one that produces the power, is the one that produces the force, is the one that gives the power. Are you getting the point? But you must understand that he himself is a person. He is not spiritual gift, but he is the giver of those spiritual gifts. He manifests them as he wills. Am I communicating? Of course, when you desire and earnestly covet them. Glory to God. So I want you to understand that he is a person and start relating with him as a person. He can hear you. So learn to talk. I talk to the Holy Spirit more than I talk to human beings every day. I communicate more with him more than any other person on this planet. I talk to him a lot. He wants to talk to you. He wants to discuss things with you. He is very real. Am I communicating? He can tell you and teach you things you don't know about yourself. He will demystify the future to you. Am I communicating? John chapter 15, verse 26. 14:26. He says, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." You see, the Holy Spirit, look up. He doesn't have a name of his own. His name is not Holy Spirit. Okay? I say his name is not Holy Spirit. This may surprise some of you. That's not his name. Holy Spirit is only describing his personality. He's describing who he is. Just a description of who he is. That he is holy and is a spirit. But that's not his name. Am I communicating? His name is not Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is only describing who he is, his character, his nature, the nature of his person, the character of his person. That number one, he is holy. He is holy. Number two, he is a spirit. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have a name of his own, but he answers to the name of Jesus. In fact, the name of Jesus is the official name of the Godhead. The name of Jesus is the official name of the Trinity. Am I communicating? When Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," he said, "Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." And then he said, "Make disciples of all nations." He said, "You should baptize them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit." Have you ever asked yourself, what is the name of the Father? What is the name of that Son? What is the name of the Holy Spirit that he says you should baptize people in? It's the name of Jesus. So that means the Holy Spirit answers the name of Jesus. Am I communicating? That's why Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." So the Holy Ghost was sent from heaven by the Father. In whose name? In the name of Jesus. So when you exercise your authority in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost swings to action. He answers to that name. He responds to the name of Jesus. Miracles happen in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit responds to that name. Am I communicating? His power is released. The authority is activated in that name. He responds to the name of Jesus. So, anytime it looks as if you want to do anything, listen to me. Listen to what I'm about. I want to give you a big secret. If you want to do something and is looking humanly difficult or humanly impossible in your own power, learn to use the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. See, the moment you invoke that name in faith, the Holy Spirit will respond. He will respond to that name, and he will come and give you the grace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of grace. He will give you the grace you need, the power you need, the enablement you need to do that which is humanly difficult or humanly impossible. Sometimes you feel weak. You know you are supposed to pray, but in your flesh you feel weak. Why don't you ask for his help? Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to pray. And I'm telling you, he will help you. He will come. Am I communicating? These things are very real. He responds to the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does not have a body of his own. He doesn't have a physical body of his own. Jesus is the only member of the Godhead that has a body. And I've told you why. Because of the incarnation. Okay? He was born of Virgin Mary. And after he resurrected, the body was glorified. Became a glorified celestial body. And throughout all eternity, Jesus will always have a body. Am I communicating? The Holy Spirit doesn't have a body of his own. That's why you cannot see him with your physical eyes. But guess what? When Jesus was on earth, he lived inside Jesus. He was dwelling inside Jesus. So Jesus' body became his body. That's why Jesus we said, My Father. That's why Jesus said, My Father who dwelleth in me. Who is the Father that was dwelling in him? The Holy Spirit. My Father who dwells in me. He doeth the miracles. He doeth the works. Am I communicating? And watch this. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost left heaven, came and filled the 120, the initial members of the church. The church started with 120 members in the upper room. He came and filled them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So he came and make his abode in men, in those 120 disciples in the upper room. Am I communicating? Where does the Holy Ghost live today? He lives inside the church. The church, not the church building, but the church as the body of Christ. Am I communicating? He lives in us today. He lives in every born again believer. He lives in us individually, and he lives in us collectively as the body of Christ. That's the church. So when I say the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body of his own, I meant to say he lives in us. Your body has become his body now. The body of Christ is his address. So when you are looking for him, he resides in you. That's why the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, it says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Okay, you see it in 6:19 again. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, if you have this understanding, you will not use your body to commit sexual immorality. You will use it for fornication. Okay, because in the context, Apostle Paul was surprised that believers were going to sleep around with prostitutes and all of that. You know, Corinth was notorious for sexual immorality. And the thing was affecting some believers there. Am I communicating? He was saying, don't you know? Are you not aware that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Will you now use it for fornication? It's trying to open their eyes. It's teaching them so that they will know who they are. They will know and understand that this body is a temple, the residence of the Holy Spirit. It's not for fornication. Am I communicating? Give me 3:9. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Praise God. Say, my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God lives in me. My body is not for sexual immorality. My body is not for fornication. My body is not for sickness. My body is not a dumping ground for sickness and disease. My body is a temple of the living God, is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So God dwells in us through His Spirit. God dwells in us how? Through His what? Through His Spirit. Okay, 3:16. It's 3:16, not verse 9. Okay. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How does God dwell in us? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. And are you aware Christianity is the only religion, that's quote and unquote, if you see it as religion, of which I told you Christianity is not a religion, okay? Now, let's assume, like the people of the world, that is a religion. Do you know, is the only religion in which the God that is being worshipped lives inside the worshippers? Is there any other religion like that? None. Huh? Pastor Mafe? Is there any religion in which the God they say they are serving lives in the worshippers? None. Know ye not? Don't you know? So it's an ignorance problem. Most of the time Christians sin because of ignorance of who they are in Christ. Okay? That truth has not dawned on them. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Let me tell you something. The greatest gift, the greatest blessing of God to us is not things. It's not things. It's not money. It's not anything physical. The greatest blessing of God to us is to give us the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. I'm telling you, that nothing beats it. This is God's greatest blessing to us. That's God Himself came to dwell in us. Is there anything greater than that? Does anything beat that offer? The Holy Spirit is God's greatest promise and God's greatest blessing to us in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the believer's unparalleled advantage in this life. The Holy Spirit is the most prized possession on earth. It's the ultimate secret of success and greatness in life. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father to us in Christ. Luke chapter 24 verse 49. He is the promise of God the Father. Am I communicating? I taught you about the concept of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus, and then God the what? Holy Spirit. Is that possible? God, three persons in one. And each of these distinct personality that make up the Godhead, they have their unique characteristics. Abi? Somebody say, is that possible? Yes, even in the natural. You know, all truth in the spiritual realm, all spiritual truth have parallels in the natural. That's why Jesus will use earthly physical things to explain spiritual things in parables. Am I communicating? All truths have parallels in the natural realm. Let's look at, let me use this simple illustration to explain Trinity. For those who are wondering, how can you say there are three in one persons in the Trinity? What's the chemical formula? Chemist, you know, my wife, Pastor Simi, is a chemist. Celebrator. Are you aware? She even has masters. Very soon she will do PhD. And I told her she should do to professorial level. Praise God. Water. Now, what's the formula? H2O. Water. Now, this water can exist in three states. The first is solid. That's ice. Abi? Ice is solid. This same water can exist in liquid form, which is the popular water that we know, the one we drink, right? Then this same water can exist. Which other form do you know? In gaseous, G in bracket, which is steam. Abi? Praise God. Praise God. The same water, H2O, you see it in solid form, which is ice. The same water, H2O, is existing in liquid form, the popular one we drink. The same water is existing in what? In gaseous form, which is steam. Now, is the same water. The same water. The same what? But it's existing in three states. One is solid. The other one is liquid. The other one is gas. Solid has the features of a solid. Liquid has the features of a liquid. Gas has the feature of a gaseous state. Am I communicating? It's the same way the Trinity is. It's the same God in three states. Am I communicating? The same God. The same God. Three distinct personalities. The Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But the same God. Will you say, just because the water has become gaseous, it's no longer water? No. As you can see, this is solid, this is liquid, this is gas. If you are to pick which one is God the Father, let me just... which one do you think is God the Father, God the Son? For me, I think the gaseous is the Holy Ghost. I don't know for you. Am I communicating? So you need to understand the concept of Trinity. So now, with that simple illustration, I hope I've been able to convince you and not to confuse you. Okay, let's look at some scripture to buttress this point. Give me scriptures that contain Trinity. 1 John chapter 5, First John chapter 5. Hallelujah. Say there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. That should be 1 John 5 verse. Let me confirm the verse. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say praise God. Verse 7. I just remember something and I laugh. Jehovah Witness, if you check their own Bible, you know they don't believe in Trinity. How many of you have encountered Jehovah Witness people before? You know they don't believe in Trinity. They don't. They don't believe in this concept of Trinity. If you check their own Bible, they have altered this verse. You won't see it like this. They have altered it to fit their doctrine of not believing in Trinity. Because I remember I once had an encounter with two of them that came for evangelism. But me, I like their passion for evangelism. I like their doggedness. They don't give up easily. Chai, may that kind of doggedness rest upon some of you. Even though I don't believe in some of their doctrine, like I don't believe in some of the things they believe, but I like their passion. Praise God. I was a medical student in Village Hostel. One day they came, two of them, a male and a female, for evangelism. So we started talking and we entered this concept of Trinity. And when I said they should turn to this book, I was surprised. What they have in their own is different from the one in the Bible. I'm telling you. Meanwhile, Jesus said nobody should add or subtract from scriptures. He said, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Let's list the number one, the Father. Number two, the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. Number three, the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. One God, the same. Expressing himself in three distinct personalities. Okay, another scripture, Acts 10:38. Are you learning something? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Can you see the three of them? Can you see the three of them? Can you see Trinity there? How God the Father anointed Jesus. What did he use? With the Holy Ghost. The three of them. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost in action. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who brought the power? The Holy Ghost. Who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hallelujah. There's another scriptures that capture the Trinity again. Glory to God. Are you learning something? I said the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father to us believers in Christ. Luke 24:49. Jesus said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be what? Clothed. 49. Luke 24:49. Until you be clothed with what? Power from on high. Hallelujah. Behold, I will send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be what? Endued with power from on high. Who brought the power? It was the Holy Spirit. So he said, I send the promise of my Father. Who is the promise of the Father? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And ye shall receive power. Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after that what? The Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. So the Holy Ghost is the power bringer. He's the one that brings power into your life. Without him, your Christianity will be powerless. Am I coming? You can't even live the victorious Christian life nor fulfill divine purpose, calling and destiny without the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. You don't just need power to fulfill divine assignment. You need power to live the successful Christian life in this wicked world. Am I communicating? And that power is resident in the Holy Spirit. Is the power bringer. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. It's just like saying, who has water? It's one water. Eh? Who has one water? Thank you. It's just like saying, you will receive wetness of body after I have poured this water on you. You will receive what? Wetness of your body after I have poured this water on you. So who will bring the wetness? The water. So ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And when did he come? Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, thank you, man. They were all gathered together in one accord, in one place. Next verse. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. What's the difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit? It's just King James Version that uses Holy Ghost. You won't see ghost in any other translation. The Greek word for ghost there is pneuma. Pneuma is spirit. It's the same thing. Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, they mean the same thing. But we preachers, we like Holy Ghost. Especially when they want to shout fire. Holy Ghost! Christian, like they won't say Holy Spirit. They will say Holy Ghost. But they mean the same thing. Ghost, spirit is all pneuma in Greek. Am I communicating? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. I told you the Holy Spirit is not force, is not power, is not prophecy, is not tongues. He's the one that gives people utterance. He gives the utterance to speak in tongues. He gives you the supernatural ability to speak in tongues, but he himself is not tongues. He gives you the ability to prophesy. He is the spirit of prophecy, but he himself is not prophecy. He gives power to perform miracles and heal the sick and all of that, but he himself is a person. Are you getting the point? The Holy Spirit is not fire. You know, there are symbolisms of the Spirit in scriptures. What are the symbols of the Holy Ghost? The things that we use to symbolize the Holy Spirit. Okay. Let me leave this bottle. What are the symbols of the Holy Spirit in scriptures? Fire is one of them. Abi? Which one again? Water. Which one again? Oil. 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 Anointing oil, self. Some people, they carry palm oil. Yeah? They say bring oil for anointing service. We are going to pray on it. Some people, they didn't get virgin goya. They came with palm oil. So, dove, another symbol of the Holy Spirit. At Jesus' baptism, he descended like a dove, right? So, dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Water is a symbol. Notice I say what? Symbol. I didn't say those things are the Holy Spirit. I said they are what?
symbol. Now, never mistake the person of the Holy Spirit for his symbolisms in scriptures. These are symbols, symbolic representation of the Holy Spirit, but they are not equal to him. Dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not a dove. Water is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in scriptures, but the Holy Spirit is not water. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not fire. Oil is a symbol of the Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is not oil. Wind, on the day of Pentecost, it came as a rushing mighty wind. His presence can be like a wind, but he himself is not wind, he's a person. These are all symbolic representation of his person and presence. Am I communicating? That's why I say, don't confuse or mistake the symbols of the Holy Spirit for his person. Let me tell you, neighbor, don't confuse or mistake the person of the Holy Spirit for his symbolic representations in scriptures and even in real life. Am I communicating? Acts chapter 2 said the Holy Spirit is a promise of the Father to us in Christ. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. Is God, the Holy Spirit is God's greatest gift to us in Christ. God's greatest gift to us in Christ is not money, it's not material things, it's not anything else, it's the Holy Spirit. Is the greatest blessing. Am I communicating? He is the one person that when he comes into your life, he will give you every other thing you will ever need. Everything else you will ever need, he will bring them into your life. And he's the one that brings beauty and color into your life. You know, there are some unbelievers that they envy you. They look at your life. They wish that they are like you. It's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. It makes your life beautiful. It makes your life attractive. They are envying you. Even inside their jeep, even with all their money. But there is something you have that they can never have until they give their life to Christ. Am I communicating? That's why I say, if you as a believer envy an unbeliever because of money or all those material things, then it shows that you don't know what you have. You don't know who you are. You don't know what you have. Neither do you appreciate or value what you have. How can you have the Holy Spirit and you are envying a sinner that all he has is money? Do you get it? That's why I say I don't envy sinners. I don't care how much they have. What I have, money cannot buy. What I have is more than money. The Holy Spirit is more than silver and gold. There is this song that goes like this. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man. Is something more than gold. Something more than gold. Something more than gold. The Spirit of God in the heart of man is something more than gold. Do you ever think, who is the world's richest man right now? Who is the world's richest man? Eh? Is it Bernard what? Arnold. If Bernard Arnold should sit here and me I stand here, am I communicating? Now watch this. If he looks at me, do you think that what he will envy about my life, do you think it will have to, it will be material or money? It will be money or material things. What do you think he will envy about my life? Talk to me.
It's the things that I have that his money can never have. The only thing the world richest man can envy about me right now is are the things I have that his money cannot buy. Do you understand? Of course, it cannot be car or house or all those things. Him with his money, he can buy those things now. It cannot be billions. He has billions. Are you getting me? The only thing he can envy about me are the things that he does not have and his money cannot buy. E.g., Holy Ghost, fire power, the anointing, Zoe. Are you getting the life of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God in my heart, in my mouth, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all of that, the gift of the Spirit. These are the things that he can only envy. So you think if they tell you go and do evangelism to Bill Gates, okay, go and preach to who? Bernard Arnold. Am I communicating? What will you tell him? That what offer will you give him that if he comes to Christ that he can have, that his money cannot buy? Do you understand? It has to be things that money cannot buy. Do you understand my point? So you need to value what you have. Value what you have. Because many Christians, they don't ever appreciate the presence of the Holy Spirit in their life. And that's why they are envying sinners. You don't appreciate him. Sometimes angels are wondering what is wrong with the sons of men. That's the truth. See, they have the most important person in the world. They have the most important blessing. Yet, they are behaving like chicken where fowl beat. What am I saying? Chicken where rain beat. You know, we are in a rainy season. You understand? Just because of one small money that they are still trusting God for that has not come. They are now looking gloomy, looking sad. Meanwhile, they have the greatest blessing that they should be thanking God for every day. You don't value what you have. You don't value what you have. Am I communicating? Peter said, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive what? The gift. This is the greatest gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost is only for believers in Christ. Unbelievers cannot receive him. What an unbeliever needs is first to be born again. Then when he is born again, he is now qualified to receive the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Next verse. For the promise. Which promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit. That's why I say the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. He said the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord shall call. He's saying that the promise of the Spirit is unto you. But this is how you receive him. This is how you receive that gift. First of all, repent and get born again. When you are born again, then you are qualified to what? Receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Hebrews 11. I read this scripture some years back, and I was a bit confused when I got to this last part. I will show you what confused me. But when the Holy Ghost opened my eyes, I was no longer confused. I then understood. Now look at it. It says, and these all, who are these all? All those heroes of faith that we read about, that did all those exploits. You know, Hebrews 11 is a chronicle of the faith heroes. It says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise. I thought they receive healings. I thought they receive prosperity. I thought they receive miracles. But the Bible says they receive not the promise. Notice he said the promise. He didn't say promises. He didn't say promises. Because we read that these heroes of faith, they receive promises. The promises of the blessings, the promises of prosperity, the promises of healings, miracles. There were so many promises that God gave them under the old covenant that they received. But this did not say promises. It says they received not the promise. That's to tell you that it's not referring to those physical or material things. Are you seeing something? The promise here is actually the Holy Spirit. Is the promise of the Father. Remember, he says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the promise. Why couldn't they receive? Why couldn't the Holy Ghost come and dwell in them? Because it was not meant for their dispensation. Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus had not come. Jesus needed to come. He needed to die. He needed to resurrect before he can now send the Holy Ghost. It was not meant for their era. But good news, we are privileged to have him. So this was meant for the New Testament believer, the promise of the Spirit. Now give me Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. That's why I said you need to appreciate and value the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. Is your greatest asset. I say it's your greatest asset. I say it's your greatest asset in the journey of life. The greatest blessing of God to us. The greatest gift of God to us. Far more important than anything else and everything else. It doesn't matter what you lost. If you didn't lose the Holy Spirit, nothing spoil. He can give you everything else. He can restore everything else you lost. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. To what end? Verse 14. That the promise of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Is that full stop? Semicolon. That we might receive what? The promise of the Spirit through faith. Can you see? Can it be clearer than this? Can you see? He said one of the reasons Jesus went to the cross and was made curse for us is so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us through Jesus Christ, and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Am I communicating? So the blessing of Abraham is what qualifies you to receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Say thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Say thank you, Jesus. Now, if you study the early church in the book of Acts, you will notice that there are four important factors responsible for the success of the early church. Their successful ministry, their successful lives. There were four factors that were responsible. Study the book of Acts. In fact, this period throughout these 14 days glory and fire fasting and prayer program, here is the assignment I want to give you. Study the whole book of Acts. Study the gospel, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then study Acts. Am I communicating? You will need them. They are our curriculum for these 14 days. Our curriculum is what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then what? The book of Acts. If you study the book of Acts, you will realize there are four factors responsible for the success of their lives and their ministries. Number one, the word of God. You will realize that they were always preaching and teaching God's word. You realize there was a system of indoctrination. When those people got born again, when 3,000 were added after Peter's preaching, the Bible said they continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine in Acts chapter 2. Doctrine, teachings, systematic teachings. Am I communicating? Of the truth. The word of God was the final authority over their lives. The word of God was being preached and taught by the people. They lived their lives based on the word of God. Am I communicating? New converts, they were indoctrinated with God's word. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They kept preaching the word of God. That stirred up persecution. Not even persecution will stop them. The other time they flogged and even imprisoned Peter and John. And then they still continued. The angel of the Lord went and opened the prison. He said they should continue preaching. They kept preaching. They threatened them. They said they should not speak nor teach anymore in the name of Jesus. They continued. Am I communicating? So the word of God was the number one factor responsible for their success. Number two factor, prayers. The two of them are well captured in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, where the apostles say, but we'll give ourselves continually, not occasionally, continually. You don't go on holiday. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer and what? To the ministry of the word. They continued in prayer, both personal prayer and corporate prayers. Am I communicating? The second factor responsible for the success of the apostles and the early church, the success of their individual lives and their ministries, was prayers. The first one, God's word. The second one is what? Prayer. It was a priority. Praise God. Prayers. It was a lifestyle. When they are faced with challenges, when they are persecuted, they call for corporate prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Prayers. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You know, after 3,000 souls were saved following Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were added. They were baptized and added to the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. This is talking of God's word. Teaching of God's word. Systematic teaching of God's word. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in what? Prayers. See, you cannot grow without these factors. Spiritual growth cannot happen without these factors. Can you see? They continue in the apostles' doctrine. They were being taught God's word by the apostles. They continued in fellowship. Fellowship, that's corporate meetings. They didn't stay in their houses and say, I will serve God. After all, God lives in me. I will serve God. I don't need to go to church. I don't need. No. It says in fellowship. I've taught you before. There are things God does for us individually. There are things He only does for us corporately. Under corporate, in corporate meetings. Okay? So, fellowship was the second. Then next, in breaking of bread, that's both communion and love feast. Okay, breaking of bread can mean communion. Breaking of bread can also mean love feast, as in they were eating, feasting together. So after receiving spiritual meal of God's word, they now receive what? Physical. So after nourishing their spirit, they now nourish the body. love feast. Then next, prayers. They continued in prayers. You will see that thing again in verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Daily. What? They were holding daily services. Look at it. Now, some of you say 14 days is too long. Maybe we'll announce 100 days. They were meeting daily. Daily. With one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house. Love feast. House to house. So today we'll meet in Sheon's house. Tomorrow we'll meet in Isaiah's house. The next day, Temibor's house. And we'll be breaking bread, we'll be eating in all those houses. Eh? Then Ayomide's house. Then Ojima's house. House to house. Eh? Did eat their meat. So there must be meat in the food. When we come to your house, there must be meat. We have to obey scriptures. If you don't give us meat, you are going against scriptural injunction. They eat their meat with singleness and gladness and singleness of heart. See how they did church those days. Today, now only Sunday people they go to church. And they wonder why they are not growing the way they are supposed to. Eh? Hallelujah. Even midweek service now struggle for people to come. Early church, he said they were continuing daily in the temple. And then house to house. So there is temple church, there is house to house church. They will meet corporately like that. They will still be meeting in their houses. What? Why wouldn't they grow? Why wouldn't there be bond of love and unity? Am I communicating? What's the first factor responsible for the success of the early church and apostles? Number two, the word of God. Number two, prayers. Number three, the name of Jesus. It was a constant factor in the early church. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus was a producer of miracles, signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 3, the lame man that was over 40 years, that was crippled from birth, that they laid daily at the gate called Beautiful, even though his own life, his health was not beautiful. But they laid him at the gate called Beautiful. And then one day he encountered Peter and John, who were about to go in at the hour of prayer. And Peter said, "Look on us." And he gave them attention, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter told him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Peter grabbed him and lifted him up, and he leaping, jumping, started leaping and praising God. And later, when they examined them concerning that healing, Peter said, "Be it known unto you that in his name, through faith in his name, he has granted this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all." The name of Jesus. All authority is in that name. All authority in the three realms, in heaven, on earth, in the kingdom of darkness, that is under the earth, the underworld. Authority in the three realms is in that name. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall take up serpents. Listen, the name of Jesus is a miracle worker. When you understand the authority, the power behind that name, and Jesus has given us the power of attorney to use his name. He said, "Ask anything in my name, I will do it." And you see in the book of Acts, the apostles using that name as a channel in prayer, using that name as an instrument to demand whatever they wanted, to demand for miracles. So you can demand for any miracle in that name. You can demand for healing in that name. Just like Peter demanded for the healing of that lame man at the gate called Beautiful. The name of Jesus produced so much miracle in Acts chapter 5 from verse 12 down to 16 that even the Sadducees and the chief priest and the Sanhedrin council, they were disturbed. Then persecution arose against the apostles. That was when in Acts chapter this thing, they now arrested them. They threatened them that they should not preach again in that name. But God told them, carry go. I say God told them, carry go. Keep preaching in that name. Satan is afraid of that name. I say Satan is afraid of that name. We are unstoppable in that name. Hope you know. We are unstoppable in that name. See, if you have the revelation of the name of Jesus, your life will change. You know, I was using that name, I was chanting it, you know, right from Sunday school, but I didn't have the revelation of that name. So I wasn't getting much result. I will sleep. You know, I grew up in the barrack and there were cases of witchcraft and all of that. So during hot weather, we used to put mat in front of the house and sleep outside because of heat. And then there was no fan. My father didn't have fan. So you have to sleep outside. And we were many. Oh, we'll sleep. Then they will come and press our neck, witches in the night. I'm like, the thing will not come out. I've been oppressed before. That's why I hate oppression. I've been oppressed before. But when I got the revelation of that name, child! One day I came out of my room. I was with NYSC. When the revelation of my authority in Christ and my authority in the name of Jesus entered me, I came out in the night. I said, devil, where are you? Come, show yourself. I was looking for demons. I wanted to practicalize what I just learned. Praise God. See, you become fearless. You become bold and audacious when you understand your authority in that name. I was no longer afraid of demons because I knew the power behind that name. I knew that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me in that name. And every devil is subject to that name. That's why Jesus said, in my name, you will cast them out. We don't negotiate with demons, we cast them out. What's the first factor responsible for the success of the early church? Number two? Number three? So, the word of God, prayers, the name of Jesus. Number four, the Holy Spirit. If you go and study the book of Acts, you will see these four factors as the major reason why they were successful. The word of God, prayers, the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And the three are connected. The Holy Spirit is the author of God's word. 1 Peter 1:21. No scripture is of any private interpretation. Who is the real author of scriptures? It's the Holy Spirit. He only used human instrument to write those scriptures, but he is the real author. Now, carry your pen and write. As Pastor Shola is writing with his pen, if they ask, who wrote these things, will you say it was the pen or it was Pastor Shola? Who wrote this? I thought it was this pen. Now watch this. All the people we call that they are authors of the Bible, they are like what? This pen. Moses that we say wrote the first five books is like what? The pen. Who was the real person using the pen to write? The Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:21. It says, no scripture is of any Second Peter, 1:21. No scripture is of any private interpretation. Is a holy man speak as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, they speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Give me an amplified. Is it? Yet, first, you must understand this truth, that no prophecy of scripture, a matter of any personal or private or special interpretation, loosening, solving, verse 21. He said, for no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It never came by human impulse, but men spoke from God, who were born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit. So the people that wrote the Bible, they came under the influence of the Holy Ghost. They were under the inspiration, under the control of the Holy Spirit. So they were not writing or penning down their will. They were writing the will of the Spirit. You only use them as a channel. So the Holy Spirit is the real author of scriptures. You now see why the scripture is not is infallible. You know, there are people that question the Bible. There are people that don't even believe in the Bible. They don't believe the Bible is final authority, because they will tell you that it's human beings that wrote it. But at least you know the answer to give them when you meet them next time. Show them this scripture. It was not the will of man. Holy men speak. They were under a divine influence. All scripture is given by what? The inspiration, the breath of God. Who is that breath? The Holy Ghost. That's Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable. All scripture is given by the inspiration. He said there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost giveth them understanding. All scripture is inspired by God, was given by the breath of God. That's the meaning of that word inspiration. No. Just leave it at Timothy. Well, all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is the real author of God's word. Tell your neighbor, the Holy Spirit is the real author of God's word. That's why he is called the Spirit of Truth. What is truth? John 17:17. Jesus says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. And the word of God is truth. That means he is the Spirit of the word. Is the author of the word. Is the spirit of the word. Am I communicating? So, if the Holy Spirit is the author of the word of God, the author of scriptures, what makes you think you can understand the Bible, you can understand the scripture without his help? You now see why he is the spirit of revelation. You now see why he's the spirit of knowledge, is the spirit of understanding, is the one that causes you to understand God's word, is the one that gives you supernatural understanding, is the one that gives you revelation knowledge. It gives you insight into mysteries and secrets. No wonder Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1:17, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in the knowledge of him. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This Bible is the most interesting book in the world. When you read it in partnership with the author. Who is the author?
The Holy Spirit.
The problem with many of you is that you neglect the author when you are reading it, and then later you come and tell us the Bible is boring. But when you start watching movie, you say that one is interesting. When you carry novel, carry funny book, you say that one is interesting. If the Bible is boring to you, I put it to you that you are not taking advantage of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When he gives you revelation, he unveils scriptural truth to you. Hi, Eureka! You start having Eureka moment. You know what we call Eureka moment? Like a scientist that have discovered something. You know this joy of discovery. When the Holy Ghost score goal in form of showing you a revelation, you will shout out of joy. Am I communicating? It will open your eyes. It will open the eyes of your understanding. Luke 24:45. What happened on the road, on the way to Emmaus? Look at what Jesus did. And I will show you how he did it. Then open he, Jesus, their understanding. Okay, this was when he appeared to the disciples, over 500 of them at once. Then open he their understanding, that they might what? Understand the scriptures. Question, how did Jesus open their understanding? How did he do it? Let's find out. John 20:21. John 20. Let's find out how Jesus, because the two of them is recording the same account. It's just that the part that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the part of Jesus' story that they did not capture, is the one, all those parts, John captured them. That's why if you study the book of John, it's a bit not exactly the same with Matthew, Mark, Luke. Abi? You know why? Because, watch this, all the parts that Matthew, Mark, Luke did not capture, John captured. Even the miracles that John recorded, you will notice that you will not see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The miracles of Jesus that John recorded, most of them are not in the other ones. And any part that they did not record, John will record. And John then focused more on the divinity of Christ. He focused more on the divinity of Christ as the Son of God. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. 22. And when he has said this, he what? Breathed on them and said what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Hold it here. Which Holy Ghost? I thought Holy Ghost came in Acts chapter 2. I thought he told them in Acts 1:8 that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So which Holy Ghost is this? When you read the Bible, ask questions. Ask sincere questions for clarity. The Holy Ghost will open your eyes and show you, give you answers. Now, when Jesus appeared to those 500 disciples at once and breathed on them. Somebody say, why do we breathe on people? Look at it. Jesus breathed on them. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. This is not referring to what happened in Acts chapter 2. No. Okay? This is not the experience of Acts chapter 2. When he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, Bible scholars told us that this John 20:22 was written the same time with Luke 24:45 we read earlier. Can we go back to that Luke 24:45? Then open he their understanding. Are you seeing the connection between the two? How did Jesus open their understanding? Can you now marry both now? He breathed on them. This was how he opened their understanding. He released an impartation of the Holy Ghost upon them. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Which Holy Ghost? Spirit of understanding. This was how he opened their understanding, by releasing an impartation of the Holy Spirit, particularly the spirit of understanding. You know, when we say miracle healing impartation service, you can receive so many things. You can receive impartation of understanding. Am I communicating? Say, Holy Spirit, teach me your word. Open my eyes. Show me revelations. Unveil your word to me. Open to me insights. Grant me insight into mysteries and secrets. As I read and study the Bible, let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened by you. Oh yes. Learn to invite him. He will open your eyes to truth that no man else has ever taught you. You will see things. I told you the four factors responsible for the success of the early church. All of them, they are connected to the Holy Spirit, the other three. The first one is the word of God. The second one is prayer. Abi? The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Romans 8, 20, what? 6. We know not what we should pray for. Rise to your feet. We have to round up. As we ought. The Spirit himself, the Spirit, New King James has it better, himself, not itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Glory to God. The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand God's word. He reveals the word to you. He brings you revelation, understanding, grants you insight into mysteries and secrets. The Holy Spirit helps your prayer life. Have you been there that you felt so weak? You know you are supposed to pray, but your body is weak, your flesh is weak, and then you ask for his help. Anytime you feel weak, ask for his help. He's your helper. And when he comes, he will infuse divine energy. He will give you grace. Am I coming? You may start. But as long as you continue and then you ask for his help, watch it. He's coming to your aid. He will come to your aid. He bears us up. He props us up in our weaknesses. Before you know, you will see yourself pacing the floor. Mande geba ala frakwatai. You say, nami be this. Even you are impressed, but not be only you. It's the Holy Spirit. Am I communicating? He helps us to pray in line with the will of God. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. You see, sometimes we'll be praying about a matter from our own superficial mental understanding of the matter. But the Holy Spirit will go to the root of the matter. There are other things that are not obvious to our mind. There are other things that our mind does not know about the matter that needs to be handled. That's why I believe most of your prayers should be prayed in the Spirit. Am I communicating? Because it helps you to pray in line with God's will. When you pray in the Spirit, you are praying in line with the will of God. You can pray with your mental understanding, as in a language you understand, maybe English or any language, earthly language you understand. You may pray that way and pray amiss. You can miss it. Because most of the time, you pray based on what you know. That's why we say you should. Two ways to failure proof your prayer is: pray according to scriptures. Pray in line with the word of God. Number two, pray in tongues. When you pray in line with the word of God, you pray in the Spirit. You cannot miss it. You will always hit the target. Am I communicating? It says the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. It says 27. Malikobo sefete. Who is ready to pray? Just 1-2 minutes. It says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes what? Intercession for the saint according to the will of God. You can't have a successful prayer without the help of the Holy Spirit. He helps you to pray. He gives you utterance. He gives you grace. He's the Spirit of grace and supplication. He enables you. He energizes you. You may feel weak in yourself, but he strengthens you. He's your strengthener. Am I communicating? And he helps you pray in line with God's will, so that your prayer will not bounce. I say, so that your prayer will not bounce. Mashakabakasabakataya. And I've told you the connection between the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus. He was sent in that name. He responds to the name. Anytime you use the name, you invoke the name, the Holy Ghost responds. He springs to action. Hallelujah. Porabakasa. Is somebody ready to pray with the help of the Holy Ghost? But this does not mean that the Holy Ghost is doing your praying for you without your participation. No? You know, there are people that will read this scripture and say, I said, no need to pray again. Bible says Holy Ghost is my intercessor. He's praying for me. No, that's not what that scripture is saying. It's saying that when you start praying, it takes hold. You know, it's just like, let's lift this pulpit together, me and you, just small. Eh? Okay, now, just imagine, let me get somebody. Come on, Innocent, come. I want to show you the partnership of the Spirit when you pray. Okay? The Holy Ghost, it takes hold with you. Now, one person alone may not be able to lift this pulpit, but two of you, just lift it a bit. Can you see? This is what the Holy Ghost does. It comes to your aid when you start praying. But if you are not praying, it will not do your praying for you without your involvement. Am I communicating? But when you are praying, it comes to your aid as your helper. Am I communicating? So that you can receive supernatural strength, so that you can pray in line with God's will, so that you can get the job done. Clap for them. You can go back to your seat. Oh yeah, let's do practical session. 1 minute, just lift up your voice and begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Maligaba sofrahadila kapatai. Lembrondo sofrakila bonde kesivrahatila. Baliko bonde kefrapalatai. Mante kepo. Jeli fratus ketelida. Andra kapatia. Lafrokopoto. Gambalika brande kepalatai. Manto koposi kapata. He is your strengthener. He is your energizer. The Holy Ghost is your intercessor. Mandeke barakatai. Begin to subscribe to his ministry. Begin to ask for his help. He is your helper. He is your advocate. He is your counselor. Mandeke pora bakasata. Embrekete liko barakatai. Manda balakusa balatai, efrendo sepeletina, jalia ruda kapatai, elefrido seketena, eka balakida brakatai. Is the Spirit of grace and supplication. Is that we pour upon the house of Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The Spirit of grace and supplication. The Spirit of grace and supplication. The outpouring of the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of grace, the grace for prayer, the grace for intercession is the Holy Ghost that gives that grace to pray. The grace
grace to supplicate is the spirit of prayer. Kalabaka somalabakatai imbrakata sundekepa. It takes hold with you. When you feel weak, he energizes you, he strengthens you, he empowers you. He is our empowerer, he is our strengthener, he is our helper, our intercessor. Shalabaka sobakatai is our standby, our divine energizer. Livobolabatai, our supernatural enabler, our supernatural strengthener. Kondobolekebakatai, no place for weakness. I was supposed to say, when I feel weak, then am I strong. The Lord is my Lord, light and salvation. Jehovah is the strength of my life. Kabala subalatana rande gebreskete elefrendo boko shetekeba alabaka sopolete nebalatai is the spirit of wisdom and revelation that grants us insight into mysteries and secrets. He reveals to us God's word. He unveils to us the word of God. He reveals and unveils the will of God. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the heart of man. He is a revealer of the word. He is a revealer of the will of God. He is a revealer of the future. So we have no fear of the future, because the one that knows the future lives in us, and he shows to us, he reveals to us things to come concerning our lives, concerning our destiny. He reveals God's plan, God's purposes, God's will, God's program. He reveals to us the mind of God. He opens our understanding that we might understand the scriptures. He is the spirit of understanding. Lagabagadaga bragadai. Erogoboko bragadai. He is the seventh spirit of God. Jalia kula bataka brandekepa. Bala to se peletena, shala ya 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 ya. Kambata kabakata kabakatai, kambalika brandekeba. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, that the things that the Holy Ghost is revealing to us, ilabako jala brakatai. But they are being revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit that searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy, receive a fresh baptism of the Spirit of prayer and supplication. The spirit of grace and supplication mantles you now in the name of Jesus. Receive divine help from the Holy Ghost in your prayer life. Receive supernatural strength. Receive supernatural enablement. Divine infusion of energy and ability. I infuse you with the ability of the Spirit. Receive an empowerment, a fresh empowerment from the Holy Ghost. And as you study the Bible, the Holy Ghost will open your understanding. The Bible will no longer be a closed book to you. I prophesy an impartation of the spirit of understanding, an impartation of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You receive insight into mysteries and secrets like never before concerning God's will, God's plan and purpose for your life. What eyes have not seen, the Holy Ghost will cause your eyes to see.
What ears have not heard, the Holy Ghost will cause your ears to hear. What has not entered the heart of mortal men or demons, the Holy Ghost will open your mind, open your heart for those things to enter. The Holy Ghost will unveil the will of God for you. He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. He is your helper. He is your counselor. He is your advocate. He is your strengthener. Shalabakasaya. Mande Prescota. He is your standby, like a standby gen. When you run out of other option, he is your standby. Thank you, Father. You are living here with a new fragrance of the Spirit. The hand of the Lord rests upon you. I prophesy, because the Holy Ghost is the one helping you, enjoy favor with God and with men. Enjoy supernatural favor. The favor of God is causing you to enjoy unusual acceptance. People will show you unusual kindness. You will enjoy unusual acceptance. Where you were once rejected, I prophesy, receive unusual acceptance. The favor of God is causing you to enjoy unusual access. Unusual access. Access to the heart of your destiny helpers. Access to kings and nobles. Access to men and their treasures. In the name of Jesus, an army of destiny helpers are rising to help you. An army of angelic helpers are mobilized by the Holy Ghost to help you. You will not fall. You will not be defeated. You will not die. You will not be sad and sorrowful. Things are working for you. The Holy Ghost is causing all things to work together for your good. You are preserved and kept by the power of God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, come on, rejoice. Rejoice. Rejoice.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Sazon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.